Thank you all this morning for that, leading us in worship again. And, you know, that last song, that could preach by itself. And that was good. Appreciate that. And doing that, using that song. And what we prayed about in the pastor's prayer with the wisdom and understanding, that's what that song just told you. Slip away and call on his name. You'll receive that wisdom and understanding that we were talking about there. Well, it's good to be here again this morning in God's house and standing before you and able to share with you today. And I do want to emphasize a little bit more about the Ephesians book study. If you have not received your book study, Linda Berry will be back in the chapel following the service. You can pick up your book there. They're $9 each. If you have a financial hardship and you want us to help take care of that, just let her know and we'll take care of that. But otherwise, they're $9 each, and we'll be starting that next Sunday night. It's not the same as going through Return to Me that we did. It's not broken down into 5 days a week. It's just about 8 to 10 pages, maybe 11 pages in each week's lesson, and you just go through it and study it on your own. So you might take 2 to 3 days that week and just study. I pray that if you get through it in 2 days or even a day, whatever you get through it, that you go back and you refurbish and just refresh yourself with it. There's 4 questions at the end of each lesson there. Answer those questions so that write it down, so that when you come to your small group, you're ready to talk about it. Let me just, whenever you do a Bible study, write in your book, underline in your book, highlight in your book. I have people, and of course, you know, I've written several books, and I take people through those books in a year's time, some churches, and I tell people, if you're one of those people that don't write in your books, you say, oh, you can't write in a book, write in this book. I'll give you a free copy if you want one for your library that's not written in, but write in that and make notes in it so that you can have a good, healthy discussion with your group when you meet with your small groups. And so be sure you sign up for the small groups. They're at the, as you go all the way out here, for those of you not familiar with it, there's a sign-up table on the left as you go all the way out towards the front doors there, just before you go outside. Don't go outside. And you can sign up there. And one of the groups is already closed. It's already filled and closed. So you want to make sure you get signed up with one of those groups out there that are on that table there. So we've got 4 more groups, still have some openings that you can get to in it. This morning, I've titled the message, as you see, God Honoring Stewardship. Now, we talked a little bit about that last week, and so I'm really picking up from where we left off last week, and we're going to be looking at John chapter 12, the first 8 verses there, but I'm going to start off with a couple questions. The first question is, do you believe that you and I are to honor God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, about 6 of you do believe that. So let me ask that again. Do you believe that we are to honor God and the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Good. Now let me expand on that question. Do you believe that we are to honor God and the Lord Jesus Christ with our time?
Yes.
Do you believe that we are to honor the Lord and Jesus Christ with our talents and our gifts?
Yes.
All right. Oh, it's getting a little weaker every time here. I don't know. And then you know what's coming next, right? Do we believe that we are to honor God with the Lord Jesus Christ with our treasures and our possessions?
Yes.
All right, some of you actually believe that. Some of you say it, but I don't know. So folks, we need to ask ourselves, is the desire of my heart to honor God in this way? Is the desire of my heart truly to honor God? Remember, everything that you do and everything that you say is an outward manifestation of what's in your heart, because that's where your core belief is. Core beliefs come from your heart. And we can say it, we can give mouth to it, to verbal affirmation to this, but the heart oftentimes says otherwise about honoring the Lord with our time, with our talents, and with our treasure. And I'll be honest, there are people all across America sitting in churches today, this morning, who would not dare to probe any farther than to give that verbal service. They wouldn't probe any farther because they know that in their own heart, and maybe some sitting in this room, that in your own heart it is difficult to give God anything that might cause you discomfort or embarrassment. We don't want to do that because it might cause us discomfort or embarrassment. None of us likes to be embarrassed, right? I mean, that's just an emotion that we don't like to experience. And I thought about this morning. My wife might not like me sharing this one, but it's about me, not about her. But I'm kind of a private person in a lot of ways, and I don't like embarrassment. I don't like to be pointed out. And probably close to 30 years ago now, let me back up and say, I turned 65 last May, and we were just talking. It was a good conversation. It wasn't anything bad. I said, you know, I wouldn't mind having a little party or something like that, just a little get-together with some people. And Pam said, No one will ever know it's your birthday from me. Now, she's not ashamed of my birthday or anything like that. She says that because of something that happened almost 30 years ago. We had some people at our church where I was serving on staff that invited us to supper, and then I think we went to the opera after that, and I'd never been. In fact, it's the only time I've ever been. But we went to supper, and somebody in the party found out it was my birthday, and they towed the restaurant. Yeah. I don't like it even today, even thinking about it there. But I was totally embarrassed. I had the balloon. They had what they had there was balloon animals. So they put somebody came over, made balloon animals, stuck it on my head like a crown, and they sang to me. And on the way home, I apparently gave Pam the riot. And look, she's nodding real big. I can see it over there. I wasn't even looking at her. I can see how big she was nodding over there. And so she says, "No one will ever know it's your birthday from me." And so that's because of my embarrassment. I did not like discomfort. I don't like discomfort, and no more than you do. And that to me is an embarrassment. I don't like. So now you know that. So if we ever go out to a restaurant, don't tell them it's my birthday, okay? Even if it is, but we don't like that. We don't like discomfort or embarrassment. And a lot of times, we shy away from serving God the way we should with our time or with our talents or with our treasures, with our possessions. We shy away from that because of those same types of embarrassment or discomfort. We don't want that discomfort. We don't want what might happen if somebody doesn't like what we say about Jesus. And so we're not going to do that. We'll back away from it. It's difficult sometimes in our hearts to want to do that. And it's difficult because we think in our terms. We think in finite terms with a limited mind. But God, on the other hand, has infinite knowledge and wisdom. He knows that the blessings and the outcomes of our giving and our thinking of others first will be greater than our own self-confinement of ideas that we could think of. And I want us to explore the life this morning of one young woman, a woman who exemplifies a God-honoring heart of stewardship. Our story is found, as I said a while ago, in the Gospel of John, and it's the first 8 verses of the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'll ask you, if you will, to stand one more time with me as I read this morning. Do this. Let me read it out of here, because I think I may have just a little bit different translation. And that's not it. John chapter 12, the first 8 verses, this is what it says. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus, therefore, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there, for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment and made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Jesus said this, Judas said this, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge in the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it." Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have, but you do not always have me. Father God, we thank you for this, your word. Pray that you would help us now, as your Holy Spirit is our teacher and is our guide. May your Holy Spirit has freedom to speak to each heart that's here today, that we would be convinced, convicted to what you want us to understand in our own lives today, and that we would then respond in kind at the time of response, at the end of the service, and then also, Lord, as we go through this next week, may we be fruitful in our serving you as you consider fruitfulness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Now, this is an important true account in the life of Jesus on his way to the cross. It is important enough that 3 out of the 4 gospel writers recorded this event. And I want us to see this morning 4 features of God-honoring stewardship. We talked about God-honoring, that we need to honor God last week. We're going to talk about now what is God-honoring stewardship, or 4 features of that stewardship. And we learned these, all 4, from Mary. First, God-honoring stewardship is always precious to me. God-honoring stewardship is precious to us as we give it. And we need to understand that. Mary's offering to Jesus on this day was costly and was precious to her. It was something that she had saved up for a long time, for several years, probably many years. This was not some cheap perfume off the 99-cent rack at Walmart. In fact, Scripture says that this bottle of perfume cost a year's wages. Now, how long would it take you to save up a year's wages? It would take several years, would it? Would it not? It would take several years because you can't save up a year's wages in 1 year because you've got to live. So you've got to spend most of your wages on what your living expenses for that year. So it would take you several years to save this kind of money. She had saved and saved and saved, and then she purchased this expensive bottle of perfume. You see, folks, any offering that I give to God that is honoring to God must first be dear and of value to me. If I just give him something that's not of value to me, it's not of value to him. And so it must be of value to me before I can give it to God. You see, folks, God does not want my leftovers. God did not create me out of leftovers. God did not create you out of leftovers. He does not want your leftovers. He does not want my leftovers. He wants our precious possessions. Mary's offering to Jesus was the most expensive, most precious possession in her life. You see, folks, I'm saying this and share this because one of this feature, it must be precious to me, our first feature there, because many people give to the church today and give to God today out of tokenism. When you came in, or after you got seated today, you should have received token. You got one of these? Did you get one of these? Hold this up if you got one. If you didn't get one, I'm not going to ask you to hold your hand up because that means you got here late. And so you don't have one of these $50 gold pieces. Seriously, this is just a gold-plated, gold-colored token. It has something about Scripture on it. And I wanted you to have these because just for this one little statement I'm making here, many people in the church today give to the church or give to God out of tokenism, a token of our appreciation. But what is that? What's the token? You know, a token is really stated, when you look up the definition, it's something to the effect it's a small something of appreciating that's not really of value compared to what you're talking about. Look at that token that you've got. What can you buy with that token? Absolutely nothing. You cannot buy anything with that token. It's not worth what it is. See, God does not want your token. God doesn't want your token gifts. He doesn't want your token, a token of your time. God is not impressed with tokens, nor is he honored when we give token gifts. We need to be searching, looking every day for what God wants us to give our all, not a token of who we are or what we have. You see, Mary did not bring the washbowl and the pitcher that was usually sitting beside every door of every house in Jerusalem or in Jesus' day at that time. She didn't bring the washbowl and wash Jesus' feet with water. She brought her most expensive possession. That's normally what had been the custom, is you take that water. If you had a servant, the servant would come and would take that washbowl and would help wash people's feet, and everybody's feet would be washed with that. But she didn't do that. She brought her most expensive possession, and when she brought it, she did not hold her finger over the top and just kind of dash a little bit on Jesus. She poured out the entire bottle of that aromatic fragrance for Jesus. She poured the entire bottle and she poured it on his feet. With this act, Mary demonstrates for us what Scripture says about our riches. Her most expensive possession, she realized it wasn't worthy to be poured over Jesus. It wasn't worthy to just hand it to Jesus, the Messiah. It was to be poured out at his feet. And that's what Scripture says about you and me. We are to be poured out at his feet. We are to pour ourselves out in service for him, but not because we're equal to him, but we are to pour out at his feet. With this act, Mary demonstrates what Scripture teaches us in that way. What was Mary's motive? Undoubtedly, it was love. Mary's motive for doing this was love. Her action was an outward manifestation of what was in her heart, her love for Jesus, who she knew to be the Savior of the world. She came to Jesus in love, and she came with a grateful heart. When was the last time you came to God in love? Have you come to God in love lately? Perhaps some of you have never come to God. You never understood that, never thought about that part of to coming to God in love. You see, Mary gave not out of obligation or out of duty. Mary gave everything that she had, her greatest possession. She gave out of love and devotion. And a lot of people around the world, you know, when you place your offering in the offering plate on Sunday morning, do you give out of love and devotion? Or is it out of duty and obligation? Is it a token? Or is it like Mary's gift? What about your attendance on Sunday morning? Do you attend church on Sunday morning out of love and devotion? Or because it's what we're supposed to do? Or because of what we've been taught to? Or I want to see and visit with my friends. I want to be in good standing with all my friends that I've known for years. See, folks, we a lot of times do things, and you don't have to stop there. I stopped at those two. But we just what I do I do it with love and devotion? Because whenever love exists in the heart, there is a desire to sacrifice something for that, our object of devotion. There is a desire to sacrifice, to give more willingly, to give more than just a token. And perhaps this is where we need to begin our search today, is to ask ourselves, is what I give God precious to me? Or is it a token? Is it, well, he should be pleased with what I do because I do it for him anyway, even though it's just this. Folks, now I know every penny that you earn is precious to you. I know that every minute of the day is precious to you. And I know that your talents, your gifts, and what you, your possessions are precious to you. But is what you give to God a sacrifice? Is it sacrificial giving? Because God honoring stewardship is always precious to me. And if I'm going to give something that's precious to me, then I'm sacrificing that to give it. Number one, God honoring stewardship is always precious to me. Number two, our second feature this morning is God honoring stewardship is pleasant to others. It's not only honoring, or it's not only precious to me, it's pleasant to others. The last part of verse 3 says, so the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You notice that not only the people seated at the table with Jesus were appeased with his fragrance, not only those in the same room, it is recorded there in Scripture that the whole house was filled with the fragrance. Everyone in, or I believe even close to the house, would have been afforded the opportunity to enjoy this fragrance, and they would soon know what had taken place and how Mary had shown her love and her devotion to Jesus. The offering that she gave that day was a blessing to those, all those who were in and around the house of Lazarus on that day. I'm going to ask you to do something for me today. I like doing this, but people don't like doing it for whatever reason. I don't know, but I want everybody to close your eyes. Did everybody close your eyes in here? Now, there's always a few in a crowd this size, there's always a few that don't want to do it. Think, oh no, I'm not closing my eyes. Listen, I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to run off and leave. Imagine right now with your eyes closed, just imagine yourself in a mall, walking in a mall, and you're walking into one of the anchor stores of the mall. One of the first things you always walk into when you walk from a mall entrance into one of those anchor stores was the cosmetic counters, right? So imagine that. You're walking in there, and you're walking, and of course, there's a lady standing there trying to give free samples of some of their perfume. And there's a lady standing there, and she sprays perfume for the lady in front of you. There's a lady about 6-8 feet in front of you, and she sprayed that perfume. And that lady kept walking, and you walked right past all of that. Smell that? Now you can open your eyes. You see, you understood that. Whether you smelled it, and some of you smelled it right then. I can see, I watch your nose twinkles and twitches and stuff there. But you understood that, and you remembered what that experience was like as you walked through the mall from time to time over your life, and you experienced that happening. You still smelled it, even though it was sprayed for someone else. It was poured out for someone else. You got the pleasure of smelling that as you walked past that spot, that same area. And that's what happened here today. The offering that Mary gave was a blessing to everyone that was in Lazarus' house that day. And not only to those who were present that day, you and I too can enjoy that sweet aroma today as we read of the stewardship example of Mary. God-honoring stewardship is pleasant to others as we encourage others through our giving, through our serving, as we encourage others by our playing our instruments or whatever it is that, God has gifted you to do, we are encouraging others by pouring out what God has given us to use to Him, for Him, in service to others. God is doing a lot of things. We're seeing and hearing of what God is doing in and through the lives of others should encourage us to do more. That's one of the great things why we should all be in Bible study, with a small group Bible study, both in Sunday school and like the Ephesians study we're getting ready to do, because you're going to get to hear from other people. You're going to get to be encouraged by the stories of what others are going through, what they've experienced. And you're going to be encouraged when you're going through times that are maybe not as high or as great as you want them to be. But we should be encouraged by others as they pour out, and others are encouraged as you pour out, because we are encouraged to be better honoring, God-honoring stewards of our time, of all of our possessions, and all of our talents. And so God-honoring stewardship is precious to me, precious to us. God-honoring stewardship is pleasant to others. And our third feature that I want to see is God-honoring stewardship is perplexing to some. It is. It's perplexing to some. Now, that's our third feature. Why is it perplexing to some? Well, I believe because they do not have a clue. They don't know who Jesus is. They've never really experienced who Jesus is or what Jesus can do in their life. It is perplexing to some because they cannot imagine giving something to someone for nothing. To these people, it's all about them. They have not learned one of the greatest lessons of life. People that, I'll talk about that, we're going to talk about those a little bit more in just a minute. But they've not learned one of the greatest lessons in life that you could ever learn is it's not about me. Not about George, about you. When we learn that it's not about me, we understand that it's not about me. And until we do that, for some people, giving to God, giving to the church is perplexing. Beginning with verse 4, it says, we read there that then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" You see, folks, oddly enough, not everyone is pleased when someone demonstrates God-honoring stewardship. Even among Jesus' own 12 closest disciples, there was one. You know, there always seems to be one in every crowd, doesn't there? At least one in every crowd. This one was none other than Judas Iscariot, who would betray Jesus. And what did he betray him for? Money. Money. See, like we talked about last week, God knew what's in our heart. And that's what will come out in the end, what's in our heart. Look at verse 6, what verse 6 says about Judas. He says, "He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it." So he was the treasurer, you might say, for Jesus and his disciples. And but wow, you think, you talk about being pointed and blunt. John records emphatically that Jesus was a thief. He was the treasurer for Jesus and the disciples. But just as Judas exposed himself on this day with this outburst, so others like him are exposed when people demonstrate God-honoring stewardship. You see, God-honoring stewardship exposes pretenders. It does. God-honoring stewardship will always expose pretenders and the play actors in the room. One of the easiest ways to spot a counterfeit Christian is to listen to what they have to say about money in the church. Because you'll never hear a tither or a giver complaining about money. You'll never hear a tither or a generous giver. You know, the tithe is what's taught in the Old Testament. The New Testament doesn't really teach on tithe because it teaches about above the tithe. It says start, the tithe is a start. You go above that. That's generous giving. That's the New Testament teaching. And here, God-honoring stewardship will expose those in there, because you'll never hear a tither or a generous giver complaining about the church or preaching or teaching on stewardship. I threw that in there because I know some of you might go out of here trying to complain today. So I thought, well, I better think this. No, I didn't do that, really. That's just the truth. That's the truth of what it is. You'll never hear a tither or a giver complaining about church teaching and preaching on stewardship. And when you hear Judas's complaint, though, you know, it almost sounds spiritual, doesn't it? And when you hear it, when you listen to it, I could think this way because I'm a practical thinker and an analytical thinker. And it says, you know, Mary could have sowed what she had and given the money for the poor would have taken care of a lot, quite a few people there for a year's wages. Think about it. But what Mary had was not for sale. It was for sharing. It was for love. Sharing in love. And there are people today who are much like Judas. There are people in churches who are not willing to sacrificially give to God to offer God-honoring stewardship because they do not want to let go of their time, of their talents, or their money. There are people in churches today always wanting to write their own definition for what giving to the church should be. Folk, read God's word, because it's pretty simple when you read God's word of what stewardship really is. Like I said, we don't own anything. We talked about last week. We're simply stewards, caretakers of what God has given us. And you see, God-honoring stewardship is always precious to us as we give. God-honoring stewardship is always pleasant to others. And God-honoring stewardship is going to be perplexing to some. Which camp are you in? Which camp am I in? That's what we need another question to ask ourselves. But there is a fourth feature that I want us to see of God-honoring stewardship, and it is that God-honoring stewardship is always pleasing to Christ. In fact, when we give something that is precious to us for the cause of Christ, it is always pleasing to Christ. Jesus defended Mary. He said, "Leave her alone." Jesus was aware of the financial value of this perfume. He knew of the precious commodity that had just been poured out on his feet. But he also knew the heart of Mary. The heart of Mary that caused her to do this thing, to pour out this expensive gift, this expensive possession of hers. He realized what this was. And so he said, "Leave her alone." Because he realized that what was poured out was not just perfume. What was poured out was love. What was poured out that day really was love. But think about this. What have you worked for? You've worked hard. Many of you worked hard for most of your life. And some of you are retired already. But what is it? What have you worked for? What have you worked so hard for all of your life? What have you saved up for many years for? What have you saved up to acquire? Perhaps it is retirement. Perhaps it's your children's education. Perhaps it's a cabin in the mountains or on the beach or a condo in Florida. Who knows? What is it? What's your prized possessions? It may be a special car or your house. What is that precious thing that you've worked so hard for? Some of you can guess what the next question is. Are you willing to give it up for Christ? I'm not asking you to do that, but if Christ asked you to give it up, are you willing to pour it out? Does that thing have such a hold on you that you can't imagine? There's no way I'd get rid of this. God wouldn't ask me to do that. God wouldn't do that. See, that's creating our own God. That's called idol worship. Because the true thing here is what Mary did. She took that she lived with her brother. So she didn't even have a house. She took the most expensive possession that she had and she poured it out at the feet of Jesus. Could never be used again. She couldn't regain it. She couldn't reclaim it. Are you willing to pour it out? Whatever that is that you've saved for, that you've longed for, that you've wanted. Are you willing to pour it out for His glory? It's a tough call, isn't it? You can do this because it's a tough call. On one sense, it's a simple call. It's for God. We got to do it. But on the second thought, but then what do I do? If I'm giving up my house, if I'm giving up all I have, what am I to do? Where am I to live? It can be a tough call. On one hand, you would like to say yes, but you have saved all your life working for it. What is that one thing in your life that you find it so hard to believe that you could give it up if God asked, even if God asked you to give it up? What is that one thing that you've saved for? Is it free for God to see and to say, you know what? I think that if you gave me this, you would serve me better. Or are you keeping it locked up in that closet like I talked about last week, or in a safe deposit box where God can't get to it? Are you willing to give it over to God for His kingdom use? For His purposes? For most of us, He's not going to ask us for that thing. But the question is not, is He going to ask us? The question is, am I willing to honor God with even my most prized possession, whatever that is? You see, what Mary poured out, she could never regain. She could never recover. It could not be used another time. It was all poured out that day at the feet of Jesus. For you, perhaps it's your talents. What talents do you have that you're not using for God, or you're not using them as much as you know that God would have you use them, or that you could use them for God? The talents that you are using for God, are you giving your all to Him? Teachers, I'm talking about Sunday school teachers or Bible study teachers. Teachers, are you waiting? Do you wait till Friday night or maybe Saturday to prepare your lesson before you deliver your lesson on Sunday morning? Because if so, you're stealing from God. And you're depriving yourself, because teachers, you should be, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you should be studying every day of the week. You should have, I always say you should at least commit 30 minutes a day minimum to prepare that lesson, because you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. And if you wait till Friday night or Saturday, you've deprived yourself of a blessing from God. And you've probably deprived your people that will be sitting in front of you on Sunday morning of a lesson that they need to learn as well. But not only teachers, what about choir members? Choir member, how are you preparing? How do you prepare to lead worship on Sunday morning? Do you just rely on the Wednesday night practice and then your 1 hour Sunday morning here? Or do you spend time daily in God's Word, and part of that praying that God would equip you to be a better worship leader? Because that's what we need to be doing. How can I pour myself? I'm up there every Sunday, but am I praying, God, praying through the week, God, help me to be a better worship leader for our congregation? You see, it doesn't matter if you sing in the choir, you teach Sunday school, or sit on a committee, or whatever you do. It doesn't matter. Are you pouring out everything that God has given you, as Mary did? Are you pouring out your greatest possessions? Mary left nothing on the table. Did you get that? Do you understand that? Mary left nothing. There was nothing left in the bottom of that bottle. If we were really brutally honest with ourselves and with each other, there are probably very few Christians and church members today who are pouring it all out, because we let the world determine for us a stopping point with our time, with our talents, with our finances and all our possessions. Most of us give only what we're comfortable with. As long as it doesn't infringe on what I want to do or what I want to have. Church, aren't you glad that Jesus did not stop with what He was comfortable with? I mean, how much of the beating do you think Jesus was comfortable with, that He took for you? How much of that beating do you think He was comfortable with? And what about before the beating, during His trial? How much of the angriness, and how much of the anger and the verbal abuse and the lying in His mocked up trial, how much of that do you think Jesus took pleasure in, that He was comfortable with? And what about that horrific death experience? How much of that do you think Jesus enjoyed? Like Mary in our scripture this morning, Jesus left absolutely nothing on the table. He poured it all out for you. He poured it all out for you, and He did it out of love for you. Where is your love for Him? Is your love for Him that great? Your finances, your possessions, your tithing and above, your talents, what He's gifted you with your time, how much time are you giving to God each week, each day? You see, folks, love is always expressed in giving something that is precious to me. That's my God-honoring stewardship. My God-honoring stewardship is always pleasant to others. And though it might be perplexing to some, my God-honoring stewardship is always pleasing to Jesus. I want to be a better steward of what God has given me. Would you stand with me? That's the kind of a question you need to ask yourself. Do you want to be a better steward? And what will it take? Ask God right now. What would it take for you? What does He desire from you to be a better steward of His, everything He's given you, everything that He's put in your possession? Let's pray. Father God, we come to this time of our service. We call it our time of response. It's your invitation to us to respond to you as you would have each one of us. And I don't know what that is. And each heart, each life, there's over 150, 170 people here today, and I don't know what that is for them. But I know how you spoke to me this week as I prepared this, so I know what mine is. And I pray that your Holy Spirit's had the freedom and that we would understand what that point is in our own lives, or points, maybe multiple, that your Holy Spirit's had the freedom to speak to us today about in our own hearts and our minds, showing us areas of our stewardship that we could be more God-honoring. We need to be God-honoring. And we may be God-honoring in most every area of our life, but did the Holy Spirit reveal something to us today that we need to be complete in our God-honoring stewardship? Father, for some here today, and maybe someone here today that has never experienced the love, the kind of love towards Jesus that Mary did. You have to have a relationship with Him to experience that kind of love. And so, Father, for someone here today does not have that kind of relationship with God, with Christ, then I pray right now that they felt that pinch in their heart. That pinch of you, or the hint saying, that's you. I need you to follow through. And Father, I pray that they would come forward. And if they have a fear in their own heart about coming forward, just help them to understand, as you did me many years ago, if I take that one step out into the aisle, you will be there to walk with me every step of the way for the rest of my life. And I pray they would come forward, maybe get someone to come with them if they want to, so we can share with them and pray with them. Father, maybe here people here who have been coming for some time, or maybe this is their first day here, but they realize that you've been speaking to them about this is the place, this is the church, this is the family of God that you want them to be a part of, where they can serve and be served, where they can share and be shared with, where they can encourage and be encouraged. And Father, if that's the case, then I pray that they would make that move today. For others, Lord, it may just be that, you know, there's an area of my life, I know that, and they may want to come and kneel here at the altar and just pray. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's an encouragement to others. They were willing to step out and do something that I've been afraid to do. And maybe others would come forward as well. Father, I don't know the many different ways that you're speaking to people's hearts right now, but I know you're speaking. We can feel the presence of the Lord in this place. And Father, I pray that every one of us would right now respond to you, even if it means getting out of our comfort zone. That's where you stretch us. That's where you grow us. So help us out of our comfort zone so that we can respond to you and serve you with God-honoring stewardship with every facet of our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God leads you.